weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Happy Friday, and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African club football. Mogadishu City Club visits Malindi of Zanzibar Saturday in a preliminary round CAF Confederation Cup match. It marks the first time in 29 years a Somali team has participated in continental club competition. The second leg game between Mogadishu City and Malindi, scheduled for August 24th, will also be played in Zanzibar because of continuing security problems in Somalia. However, the president of the Somali Football Federation, Abdikani Said Arab, says Somali fans are excited about their teams competing in the CAF tournaments. He says it's good for the Somali clubs to gain experience and test their skills against the top sides in Africa. Now, the CAF Confederation Cup is the second-tier club tournament on the continent. Somali champion Dekedaha will play five-time African title holder Zamalek of Egypt in the top-tier CAF Champions League in a first-leg match August 16th. Dekedaha will also play both games in Egypt. Somali football chief Arab says he hopes Somali clubs will eventually be able to host matches at home, maybe in 2020. Well, I received a Facebook message from Antoine Kamwenyi, who lives in Kananga in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Antoine writes, "Thank God it's Friday." And Antoine adds, "Sonny, my national football team has a new coach." Antoine is indeed correct, VOA football fans. Christian Nsengi Biyombe has been named interim coach for 6 months of the Congolese Leopards. And Nsengi Biyombe was previously the DR Congo's technical director and coach of the under-23 team. He replaces Florent Ibenge, who stepped down earlier this week after 5 years as the national team coach. The 57-year-old Ibenge led the Leopards to the knockout round at three consecutive Africa Cup of Nations tournaments. Joining us now with more African football news is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. Nigeria Vice President Professor Yemi Osinbajo says the federal government is excited about the prospect of Nigeria hosting the next FIFA Under-20 Women World Cup in 2020. Professor Osinbajo, who communicated these while receiving a delegation of FIFA inspection team, said that the federal government was actively supporting the bid of the Nigerian Football Federation to host the competition. The NFF President Amaju Pinnick said the FIFA delegation, who have been in Nigeria since Tuesday, had inspected 6 stadia, 13 training sites, 9 hospitals and no fewer than 10 hotels, and appeared to be very impressed with the facilities Nigeria is putting forward for the competition.
But we're also trying to push the narrative about Nigeria being a very safe country, being hospitable, being indeed the biggest economy in Africa. And you know, once this bid is granted, FIFA is going to invest millions upon millions of dollars.
Rhiannon Morton is the leader of the FIFA inspection team.
Nigeria has a massive reputation for great football. We've known that since FIFA has hosted events here in 1999 and also in 2009 as well. Bringing a women's tournament here would obviously be very good for the development of women's football in Nigeria and in Africa as a whole as well. But as I say, the decision is still far from being taken. But we're very happy to be here and look at the great facilities on offer.
The decision on Nigeria's bid to host the event will be taken in September. Staying with women's football, South Africa will take on Zambia in the final of the 2019 COSAFA Women's Championship, the regional competition for Southern African countries, after both produced convincing victories in their semi-finals at the Wolfson Stadium on Thursday. Zambia brushed aside Botswana 4-0 in their last four clash before South Africa eased past Zimbabwe 3-1 as they stay on course for a third title in succession after being crowned champions in 2017 and 2018. Away from women's football, Everton sealed the deadline day signing of Arsenal and Nigeria forward Alex Iwobi on Thursday for a reported fee of £34 million, completing a busy transfer window for the club on the final day of players' transfer in the English Premiership. The Nigerian international Alex Iwobi penned a 5-year deal, which was only announced more than 4 hours after the transfer deadline, which was the biggest incoming Premier League deal. The 23-year-old, capped 36 times by Nigeria, scored 15 goals in 149 appearances for Arsenal after making his first team debut in 2015. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. And I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Samson mentioned the FIFA inspectors checking out facilities and equipment in Nigeria, which hopes to stage next year's FIFA Under 20 Women's World Cup. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the former public relations officer of the Nigeria Olympic Committee, Tony Nezianya.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that we're now bidding to host. It has always been, that is one way of sustaining the development of any sport, if you bid to host, because that way you are awakening so many interests.
Some sports analysts say, though Nigeria is bidding to host the Under-20 FIFA Women World Cup, but that women football is not very popular in the country. What's your take on this?
Yes, if they say so, they are right in a way. It's popular, but not popular in the sense of the fact that there is a sustained league for women football in Nigeria. Yes, in terms of popularity, that people are aware of it. People like to also watch the women football because they have done incredibly well in recent past. But the fact means that it has yet to be completely developed to such a certain extent that the league will be thriving. Yes, there are clubs, there are people who are interested, but we have not, as a country, set up a thriving league, and there are no sponsorship. It's not attracting sponsorship, because if it is attracting sponsorship, of course the willingness is there for people to get interested and begin to organize the league in a proper manner.
If Nigeria gets the hosting right from FIFA, what does it stand to gain? Will it attract more sponsorship deals and other goodies to the country?
Yeah, we expect that when Nigeria becomes successful in getting that championship, it will help to the spread of the game. It will also further stimulate interest. And I dare say that maybe we'll begin to see sponsorship for the women football, because by the time you see people from other countries and the kind of facilities available to them and the kind of support with which they and the sponsorship that they are coming with, perhaps that could stir up the mind. It could compel our own companies to also keep behind the women football.
Do you think Nigeria is prepared to host the Women World Cup, having done so in 1999 and in 2009?
Yes, I think that the spirit is there. I mean, the facilities that with which we hosted the past events are still there. And it is for us to do proper selection and properly make up our minds what we want and out of the event. Because you know that, like I said, it is a means of further developing the game and developing the facilities too. And even the facilities that have been, of course, if they have gone bad, it is an opportunity to put them right once more.
That's Tony Nezianya, the former public relations officer of the Nigeria Olympic Committee. And Tony was talking with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I talked with Iron Mike by email before the show, and Iron Mike says he's going to cue up some smooth jazz music this weekend. Listen to that smooth jazz, Iron Mike. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us once again on the show is Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. This is Ryan's last day as an intern at our Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. We'll talk with Ryan about his experience. But first, let me say sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny.
Well, Ryan, you're about to begin your second year at Brown University. Can you tell our VOA listeners a little bit about Brown?
Sure. Brown is a four-year university in Providence, Rhode Island, which is in the northeastern United States, not far from the cities of New York City or Boston. And it's actually a member of the Ivy League. That's a group of eight of the oldest and most prestigious schools in the U.S. And the schools of the Ivy League also compete against each other in sports, and they're bitter rivals. The Ivy League also includes schools like Harvard, Princeton, and others in the northeastern U.S.
What about that Ivy, Ryan? Do you see Ivy on campus at Brown?
Sure. I mean, the campus at Brown's very nice, great architecture, and sometimes you might see some of the older buildings covered in some of that ivy that they talk about.
Ryan, what are you studying at Brown?
Well, I'm currently working towards a double degree in English and public health, and I'm hoping to attend medical school after graduating Brown and also find a way to continue with sports journalism as well.
You mentioned the sports journalism, Ryan. Can you tell our VOA listeners a bit about your role with Brown's newspaper, the Brown Daily Herald?
Sure. First, before I mention my own role, I'll just talk about the Brown Daily Herald itself. It's actually an entirely student-run newspaper, and it's independent from Brown University. So we don't receive any funding or direct advising from the university administration. So that way we can remain as unbiased as possible when we cover the school itself. And right now, I'm a senior staff writer for the Herald, which means I cover a specific beat or topic for the newspaper, and I'm expected to produce about 1 to 2 articles each week on that beat. And currently, as you might have guessed, I'm on the sports beat. So,
okay.
I attend many Brown sports games and write news pieces on those games. I get to interview the players and coaches. It's a great experience.
Which sports do you cover for the Brown Daily Herald?
Well, next year I'm planning on covering men's and women's soccer in the fall, wrestling and basketball in the winter, and baseball and softball in the spring. And last year I also covered some other sports like water polo and lacrosse.
Let's welcome back to the studio Dan Friedel, occasional Sunnyside of Sports host and contributor. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny and Ryan. Nice to be
sporty
here
greetings, Dan.
In the studio with you guys.
Well, you've worked with Ryan a little bit, Dan. Can you give our listeners a little bit about his personality, what you think his personality is like?
Ryan is he's an interesting young man. You know, what he doesn't have quite in the physical stature, he makes up with his journalism prowess. I know that, Ryan is pursuing a hobby of powerlifting. So if you ran into Ryan in a dark alley, you might not see that he was as powerfully built as he is, but it's been pretty fun to talk to him about, his fitness regimen and his weightlifting regimen. And, while he doesn't look like he's going to knock you over, he packs a punch.
Well, let's, before we get to the powerlifting, Ryan, you do have some past sports experience. You wrestled in high school. Can you tell our VOA listeners about that experience?
Yeah, so the first sport that I really took seriously was wrestling. I started to wrestle recreationally in my younger years, but when I got to high school, that's when I started to really take that sport seriously and look to become better at it. So starting out, I wasn't very good, and neither was my team, actually. But thanks to a great coach, we all improved greatly over my time in high school. And by my senior year, I was team captain, and I helped the team to the regional semifinals. And what I like most about wrestling is that when you're wrestling, it's just you out on the mat. So the result of the match is all in your hands. So that forces you to quickly take on some personal responsibility. And I think for that reason, wrestling helped me to become a stronger person, both physically and mentally. And also, I'd personally recommend wrestling to any young athletes looking to start a new sport, because you don't really need any special equipment. You can just go out there and wrestle. It's a lot of fun and can help you grow in the long run.
So, Ryan, I remember when I was in high school that I was a little intimidated by the actual wrestling practices, because I saw my classmates, you know, on a cold northeastern Ohio winter day, you know, bundled up like Rocky on the streets of Philadelphia in their sweatpants and sweatshirts and wool hats. And they weren't even outside. They were running laps around the gym. So what's maybe your most memorable wrestling workout that you've done that you could tell our listeners about?
Well, nobody said that wrestling was easy, but I did say it was a good experience. My most memorable wrestling workout, I would say it was one where we actually did go outdoors, and is in the middle of the winter, and I'll switch my opinion there. Our coach was very determined to keep us in shape even when we weren't in the wrestling room. So sometimes when it would snow and we couldn't attend wrestling practice, he would text us workouts from home. So one of the workouts we had to do was a burpee marathon. He texted us for one straight hour. You just have to do burpees for the entire hour.
No, that sounds terrible. Right, what's a burpee?
I can do about one burpee in an hour.
What's a burpee,
you Ryan? Jump up, you squat down, throw your legs back into like a push-up position, go back into the squat position and jump up again. That's one burpee. And so we had to text at the end of our workout, we had to text our coach back and say how many burpees we did in an hour.
And how many did you do?
I think it was somewhere in the 500s or 600s.
Wow. That's like a lifetime of burpees for me.
I think some of my teammates got into the 700s, so it was pretty crazy.
This is Sonny Young. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm talking with VOA intern and Brown Daily Herald sports writer Ryan Handel. Dan Friedel also in the studio. So, Ryan, after wrestling, you transitioned to powerlifting. Now, that's a sport some of our listeners might not be familiar with. Talk a bit about how the sport of powerlifting works.
So powerlifting is composed of three lifts, the squat, the bench press, and the deadlift. So I'll go one by one. The squat, you have to hold a weighted barbell on your back, squat down, and stand back up. Then there's the bench press, for which you're laying down. You have to bring a barbell down onto your chest and then push it back up. And finally, there's the deadlift, where you simply have to pick up a barbell off the ground and stand up with it. Now, in a powerlifting competition, you get three attempts at each of the three lifts, squat, bench press, and deadlift, and your heaviest successful attempt at each counts. So when you're done with your meet, you add together your best squat, your best bench press, and your best deadlift to get your final total. And also, lifters are divided into weight classes according to their body weight and their gender, and so the lifter with the heaviest total in each weight class wins that division.
So, Ryan, as I mentioned earlier, you're not that big of a guy, but you have an advantage, right, because your weight isn't that high. So if you can build up your strength, you can place pretty well in your division. What's your experience been like so far?
Great. So I actually attended my first powerlifting competition this May after training for almost a year, and I competed down in the 53-kilogram weight class, the lightest weight class that was available to me. And I ended up finishing first pound for pound in the 19 and under division because of the fact that I was able to lift so much while not weighing very much myself. And also, I deadlifted 160 kilograms, just over triple my body weight. And
that is amazing.
Yeah, so I was very proud of that achievement, especially doing it in competition. I'd done it once before in the gym, but to do it, you know, in a sanctioned environment in front of judges, it really adds a new layer of like verification, excitement.
I know how hard that is, because I weigh about 100 kilograms right on the nose, and I think my heaviest one rep deadlift is not nearly as much as you can do. It's pretty cool to hear that.
Yeah, it definitely took a lot of training and a lot of practice, not only to build up the strength, but to get the form right. So I was very satisfied with that result.
Well, Ryan, you also have experience in wrestling, and that's one of the traditional sports at the Olympics as we look forward to the Tokyo Games in 2020. Any African wrestlers that you think have a chance of maybe winning a medal?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little tough because wrestling is traditionally dominated by Russia as well as countries that are up and coming as well, like the United States and Iran. But the top three African nations that I think stand a chance of getting a medal at the Olympics would be Egypt, Nigeria, and South Africa. And if I had to pick one African wrestler to get on the medal stand, it would be Blessing Oberududu of Nigeria. She competes in the women's 68-kilogram weight class. She's been to the past two Olympic Games. So not only is she experienced, she's also a 9-time African champion. And she wasn't able to medal in her last two trips to the Olympics, but hopefully her experience and past success can shine through in Tokyo.
Well, Ryan, we got about a minute left in the program as you wrap up your internship here at our VOA headquarters. What do you think you enjoyed most about the experience?
So coming into this internship, I knew that where my skill lied, having worked with the Brown Daily Herald, was in writing. But I was a little apprehensive about going on the radio, talking live all the time. And I've gotten a lot more comfortable on the air, improved my speaking skills, so I'm very happy about that part of the internship. And also, last week, if you might remember, I was at the City Open covering the tennis tournament there. So it was a very cool experience to cover that tournament for VOA, give some sound bites and some recaps to Sonny and his show, and, you know, getting the opportunity to interview these athletes that you see on TV in real life. It's a really enlightening experience. I enjoyed that as well.
All right, Ryan. Ryan Handel, VOA intern and Brown Daily Herald sports writer. On my left right now is Dan Friedel. Dan will be hosting the show on Monday, August 12th, and Tuesday, August 13th. So you'll be hearing more from Dan. And that wraps up the August 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in, you will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
What better way to enjoy this weekend than with beautiful African music? Hello, everybody. I'm Heather Maxwell. Tune in to Music Time in Africa for an exciting show. I've put together a playlist of songs by artists from 11 different African countries. There's vintage music from Cameroon, Bebe Manga, and the Douala Xylophone Orchestra. Traditional music from Gabon, current Afro beats, R&B, Lom, and live band music. And Song of the Week, Kutapira, will warm your heart, and the kids will love it too.
Here we go, Kutapira.
So tune in and join me this Sunday, 15:05 and 20:05 Universal Time.
This is Science in a Minute.
According to the Migraine Research Foundation, migraines are an extraordinarily prevalent neurological disease affecting 1 billion people worldwide. To many who suffer from migraines, they are more than just a bad headache. A migraine attack can last anywhere from 4 to 72 hours, and for many can be accompanied by other symptoms such as vision difficulty, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, and sensitivity to sound, light, touch, and smell. Factors like the weather, sleep disturbances, hormonal changes, stress, certain medications, and foods or beverages have been known to trigger a migraine attack. Researchers at three Boston medical institutions have released a new study that suggests a link between drinking three or more caffeinated beverages a day with a migraine attack. They also found drinking one or two caffeinated beverages a day did not set off a migraine. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, thank you for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. This month, Border Crossings is giving away a really cool Voice of America t-shirt. Hooray! If you want to win one of these awesome shirts, all you have to do is make a song request for our show. I see it, I like it, I want it. Tune into Border Crossings at 1500 Universal Time every weekday in August for your chance to win.